in light of yesterday being July 4th, which is also was the 4th of July. Another way of putting it. Independence Day for our country, which brought certain brought certain freedoms to our country, to the citizens of the colonies at the time. And we are enjoying those freedoms. And there is a big price to pay as two of these Marines. I'm not going to say ex-Marine because they say they're never. Two Marines. And Aaron, weren't you in the armed service? Were you a Marine? Three Marines right here in one room. So there you have it. Takes a lot of diligence to keep freedom, and sometimes people die because of that diligence. So fortunately, these three guys are still living. But it deals with civil freedoms. Basically, the freedoms we have are civil freedoms and perhaps some economic freedoms. But God's word speaks of a freedom that's available to us that supersedes anything that the world in any organization can offer. So that's what we're going to get into.
Susan? Okay, well, that was my intro.
Sorry.
So let's go to Isaiah 61, verse 1. The freedom of, from God's word does supersede all our civil freedoms, that's for sure. And this verse is a prophecy regarding Jesus Christ. And it said, this says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted." That's so sweet, isn't it? Bind up the brokenhearted. "To proclaim liberty or freedom to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound." That's what he was coming to do. And in John 19... verse 28. Wait till you get there. Won't leave without you. At verse 28. "After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, he saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, and put it upon hyssop, and put it to his mouth. When Jesus had therefore received the vinegar, he said, it is finished." That was our freedom right there, accomplished. Everything that God needed Jesus Christ to do, every prophecy fulfilled, every single thing, even to the that bit of vinegar, it was finished. It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. He gave his life for us so that we could be redeemed, so that we could have the great freedom that God shows us in his word. In John 8:32, this record, Jesus was speaking to the, to the Jews that believed on him. Hold on. 8:32, he says, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." It's the truth of God's word that makes us free. And in verse 36, I think it is. Yeah, 36. He says again, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free," what?
Indeed.
There's no messing around with God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus Christ made us free, then we're free indeed. No doubt about it, no argument there. And in Romans chapter 6, we see what we were made free from. Well, we see it in a lot of places, but we're going with the Romans chapter 6 right now. And in verse 18, Romans 6, 18. Oh, Luke, how'd that happen? Can you read it, John?
Sure. Verse 18 says, "Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness."
Free from sin. Oh, that's not such a big deal. Who cares? How about verse 22? Can you read that?
Oh, okay, sure. Verse 22, but now being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end, everlasting life.
The end is everlasting life. We've been made free from sin, and that word end is telos, or it's related to the word telios, same thing. And it means the very end, that we know the end of this whole story. We've been freed from sin, we're servants to God and to righteousness, and the end is eternal life. That's it, that's our end. And you know, when Jesus Christ on the cross said, it is finished, that was telios, that was the end of all, the very, very end, the tail end, the tip of the dog's tail, when it's wagging. The very end was when he said it was finished, and now for us, our very, 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 very end is eternal life, and we're free from sin, and we're going to see what this is sort of about, some of this sin, in Romans chapter 8, if you go there, please. Okay, so verse 1 in Romans 8 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And the rest of the verse is not in any text, okay? So we'll just read 1 and 2 with, and eliminate that from our reading. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. You know what condemnation is? Condemnation is the sentence pronounced on somebody. You go to court and the judge says, you got to pay $35 because you parked in a handicapped spot, and you got to pay the court fee, and that's your condemnation. That's what it is. It's the sentence pronounced. Or in a court of law, you know, you're convicted of murder. Okay? Convicted is convicted. Then the judge gives you a sentence, and that's how long you'll serve in prison. That kind of thing. Well, we were condemned because of Adam and what Adam did. And condemnation is the sentence pronounced against someone. Here it refers back to the condemnation mentioned in Romans chapter 5, which we'll look at. And that condemnation was sin unto death. That's what it was. We were dead. When Adam sinned, he lost the connection with God. That was the sentence dealt to Adam, that he would lose that spirit life within him because of his sin. Okay, and then we got that same death until the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished what he accomplished, and on the day of Pentecost that spirit life was available to us again. Okay, does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the loss of spirit life was Adam's condemnation. It was his sentence as well as ours. Okay, and if we go to Romans chapter 5, in verse 16, let's start 14. But not as the offense, talking about Adam, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, see that sentence of Adam's, that death was transferred to us, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, has abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation. His sentence was condemnation. But the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, it ruled, death ruled. For centuries and centuries and centuries and centuries, death ruled over man. Much more, they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. That deliverance of Jesus Christ was so complete, it delivered us from that death that Adam had been sentenced to. And we can now, instead of death reigning in our lives, we can reign over life. What a difference. Complete juxtaposition to each other. Complete reigning. Death reigns over our lives, or we reign over life. Wonderful, by what Jesus Christ did. Romans 8 talks about those who have been justified and no longer under that condemnation. That's us. We are no longer under that condemnation. Talk about knowing the truth, and the truth shall make you free. When I consider the people that I know and have known through life that have been born again believers, that have lived with sin consciousness, that have lived with an attitude of not being deserving of that end, which is everlasting life, of reigning in life, when you think about that, or living with condemnation, condemning ourselves, you know, of all that. Boy, we don't have to do that. We have been made free from that completely. Remember, Jesus Christ came to set at liberty and to release from prison. And he has given us the ability, God has given us the ability because of the Spirit within us to no longer be ruled by death. And there's a lot of that in this world. It's a terrible thing all over the place. Not just physical death, but the deadness of a man that doesn't have spirit. We have spirit. We're alive again. We can reign. In Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5. Here we're exhorted to stand fast in that freedom and that liberty. Stand fast, therefore, verse 1, in the liberty wherewith Christ had made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. To stand fast means to stand firm, to persevere, to persist. We stand fast in the liberty. It's the same word as freedom that we've read before. The working translation says, Christ freed us with freedom. Christ freed us with freedom. It's a done deal. There's no argument from anybody. I mean, the devil can argue all he wants. Anybody from any religion can argue all they want from any philosophy. The truth is, Christ made us free. Christ freed us with freedom. That's the truth. And nobody can take that from us, and we stand firm in that. No matter what the world says to us, no matter what anybody says to us, we can stand fast in that. And it says not to be entangled. And we don't want to be entangled with the yoke of bondage. Bondage stands for the condition of a slave. See, we have that choice. We can determine how we think and how we stand, and we can stand free the way Christ made us in that liberty, or we can get all tied up with the yoke of bondage, the condition of a slave. We can be a slave to things if we want to be, or we can be a servant unto righteousness, serve God like we read before. And I know most of you know what a yoke is, but I'll just briefly say it. Animals are often yoked together to do work in the past, and many countries still like this. And generally, people will yoke a horse with a horse, a donkey with a donkey, an ox with an ox, okay? You don't want to be unequally yoked, because then, first of all, the work doesn't get done properly. And also, it's more difficult for the bigger one or the stronger one. So you want to kind of have the two animals similar. Makes sense, right? Well, for us, we're not to be yoked with bondage. We're to be yoked with Jesus Christ and freedom. And in the Gospels, I want to look at this real quick. Matthew 11, here Jesus is talking. We're not going to take the verse apart or anything. We're just going to look at it for the beauty and the heart of God toward us, in what he instructed Jesus Christ to say. Matthew 11, verse 29. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Picture this. Picture this. We can learn of him, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We can learn that truth of the Lord Jesus Christ and of God's greatness. And then we can be yoked together with the Lord Jesus Christ, and that makes our burden light. He takes care of us. You know, I'm not going to be yoked with the bondage of the world. I'm going to do my best to stand firm, right? That's what we all want to do. And when we yoke to the Lord Jesus Christ, boy, he helps us. God helps us with all that. In 2 Peter. There's a warning from God. And this warning is, don't give up the truth. Don't give up the freedom that comes from knowing the truth. Don't give up the truth. Don't give up the freedom that comes from knowing the truth. And 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20. Talking about people, bondage. And in verse 20 it says, "For after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." Escape, that means you get freedom from the nastiness of the world. Here it's the word cosmos world, and it's the order of the world, the way things are set up. You know, when somebody finally escapes the pollution, gets set free from that, through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, again, that you shall know the truth concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, and that truth sets us free, right? Makes us free. They are again entangled therein, and it's kind of like a person gets born again, knows the truth about the Lord Jesus Christ, and then they entangle themselves, they weave themselves back in to the pollution of the world. And they're overcome, and the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to its own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. See, we have the opportunity to stand fast in the knowledge of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, and that makes us free. Or we have the opportunity to allow ourselves to get woven back in. We get to weave ourselves back into the ways of the world. It's the way the world's set up. And then God says it's like a clean pig going in the mud. It's like a dog going to its own vomit. It's not a good thing. We're better off. We know the end, the very end for us, is true deliverance. It's eternal life for, you know, what we have now, and eternal life in the presence of God and the Lord Jesus Christ together forever. Now you want to go roll in the mud? Right? Pretty simple. God has a great way of making pictures live for us, doesn't he? In Romans chapter 12. Verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We're not to be fashioned to this world, and this word world here is a different one. It's ion, however you say it. And it means that it's the present evil age, the time in which we live. Right now, the devil has dominion over things, okay? But there's a day coming when he's getting his. He's going to get his. And that's going to be glorious. But right now, there is a present evil age, and we're not to be fashioned by it, but to be transformed. Transformed is the word metamorpho, like metamorphosis with butterflies. And if you think about the metamorphosis of a butterfly, here's a caterpillar, right? And all of a sudden, there's a gorgeous butterfly. That transformation is dramatic. It's dramatic. It's not just a little change. Oh, he used to be kind of mean, and now he's a little nicer. No, no, no. When we don't fashion ourselves after the world, but we continue to hold on to that truth that we know in our minds by thinking it and saying it and putting it into our hearts, renewing our minds, then we are transformed. And we prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Was it the will of God to deliver us from sin?
Yes.
And as we stay faithful to that and hold fast to it and avoid the entanglements and the yoke of bondage, then we prove what is the good and perfect and acceptable will of God. And he's pleased. It's his plan. And in Galatians, let's look in Ephesians 2 real quick. Sorry. Ephesians chapter 2. First one. We'll just read a few verses in light of all this to see where he brought us from and what we have. And you, 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 me, and you, and you, and you, and you, and you, hath he quickened who are dead in trespasses and sin. Here's that whole thing, death unto life. Death was reigning, now we can reign in life. Where in a time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Remember, it's a present evil age. The spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our manner of life. Conversation is manner of life. In times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. And has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in ages to come, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through believing, and not of yourselves. It is the good gift of God. This was God's good pleasure to do this for us. He's always wanted children. Adam messed up, and God made a way. He made a way to get us back and to get us away from the death, get the death out of us, and give us life. And now it's going to take all of eternity for him to show his good pleasure and his kindness towards us. We know the end, the telos, right? We know the end. And in Galatians 1:4, we'll look at that real quick. Talking about Jesus Christ, verse 3, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. It is the will of God that we stay delivered, that we don't entangle ourselves with the yoke of bondage, with the ways of the world, with this present evil age. We have the ability to do that because God has given us the ability, and it is his good pleasure. It is his will for our lives, and he's excited about it because he's going to have us home with him forever in heaven. It's going to be great, but right now we can reign in life when we truly consider what the scriptures say. For you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And the truth regarding the Lord Jesus Christ and his accomplishments has certainly made freedom for all of us, and we can encourage each other to continue to stand in it. So, anyway, I'm thankful for this country, and I'm real thankful for our God and our brother Jesus Christ. So that's it. That's all I got.
Okay. Thank you. Mm-hmm.